Hi, you're listening to This Is Not Your Practice Life. I'm your host, Macy Renee, and we are going on a journey together, my friends. I'm a certified life and emotional intelligence coach. And if you really want to step into your highest self, there are a few non-negotiables you're going to have to learn. And I am just the person to help you do it. No matter your past, I'm here to help you create a more fulfilling future. So stick around with me. Not only will I teach you how to navigate your brain's daily mind drama, but I'll help you actually understand your mind, your emotions, why you do the things you do, and why others do the things they do. Most importantly, I'll help you build the self-awareness skills to create whatever results you want. It's never too late to change the trajectory of your life. After all, this is not your practice life. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to another episode of This Is Not Your Practice Life podcast. My name is Macy, and I am so excited that you're joining me today. Welcome to the show. So I want to answer the question for you guys. What causes lack of emotional connection? Let's get into it. I think the first place we should start is what the lack of emotional connection may look like in our relationships. And this can be romantic relationships. It could be friendships. It could be relationships with your family. Let's like just set a foundation of what this could look like. This is certainly not going to be an exhaustive list because I'm just going off of the first things that come to mind. But I think laying that foundation to help you identify what lack of emotional connection may look like will be helpful for talking about why it happens. Have you ever had the experience in any of your relationships where you really want to talk about things with maybe your partner or someone you really love, and it just doesn't seem like they want to talk about it? They might be dismissive of it. They might not be able to hold attention in having that conversation. They may push that topic to a later, a later day, a later hour. You know, they almost very dismissive of the fact that you want to talk about something or express what you're feeling. You may even express everything and they do listen, or they're at least, you know, present while you're sharing all of it, but it may look like it doesn't resonate at all, or maybe they get frustrated or angry, or they misinterpret what you're saying and you find that you're in an argument with them when really you were just trying to express your emotions or your feelings or your thoughts, and it doesn't seem like they have the capacity to hold any of it. Some other examples could be if everything tends to turn into an argument, or maybe you don't even feel like you can bring up certain topics, so you avoid telling people certain news, or you avoid saying certain things, or you leave out parts of a story, or you don't share 100% your most authentic feelings because you anticipate that it's not going to be received well, or it's going to cause an argument, or it's just going to be blown out of proportion, or you're going to be misunderstood. There's so many ways that, you know, the lack of emotional connection in relationships can show up. So here's what I really want you to think about, especially all of you that are listening to the podcast, because if you are an avid listener of this podcast, then you've been doing personal development work for at least as long as you've been listening here. That's really what this podcast is all about. It's helping you grow your self-awareness, helping you become aware of what emotional intelligence is and what it means and how to, you know, kickstart your way into developing it, understanding how the mind works and how you can change things that are not working in your life. So you're several steps ahead as someone who listens to this. And it's important to know that in everyday society, you know, in most of our interactions in the world, that is not what everybody else is doing. Not everyone in the world is working on themselves or going inward to figure out what's going on within them or figuring out what mindset work means or what emotional intelligence means or, you know, why they're getting the results they're getting in their life, let alone trying to change things. So a lot of the interactions that you're going to have in your life, especially for people who aren't naturally self-aware or self-driven to be better, you're maybe going to find that them holding space for your authentic presence is challenging. And, you know, like I said in kind of the list of how do you know if there's a lack of emotional connection in a relationship or in a moment, maybe it's not the overall relationship as a whole, but like in certain moments. And you can find that out by how people respond to you. So if you do feel dismissed, if you do feel misunderstood, if you do hesitate to bring up certain topics, if you feel like I can't share the things I want to share with this person because there's judgment or there's ridicule or they're dismissive or they don't seem to care, it doesn't feel good to me to share it. It doesn't feel like a safe place for me to share it. It doesn't feel, like I'm really actually being heard and seen. It doesn't feel like anything's being reciprocated. Like there's just so many things that will tell you whether or not you feel emotional connection in your relationships or not. And again, this can be friendships, this can be with your parents, this can be coworkers, it can be your romantic relationships. The list goes on and on, anybody that you interact with. So let's talk about what causes the lack of emotional connection. So the biggest thing that will cause this lack of emotional connection between two people, even if you are the person that is doing a lot of work, right, whether you are or you're not, it's what people are willing to do within themselves, what people are willing to face within themselves, how self-aware they are of their own emotions. If someone is not good at feeling their own emotions, they're not going to be good at holding space for yours, period. Okay? If someone avoids all of their emotions all the time and they buffer as a means to avoid what they're feeling and, you know, they don't really address all the things that feel really hard in life, they're just kind of dismissive of everything, then again, you're going to have that situation where it feels very hard to emotionally connect. And it all comes down to the willingness of the people that you're interacting with to feel their own feelings and to work through that and to practice their own self-awareness around that. That is literally the difference between someone that is practicing emotional intelligence, aka emotional maturity, versus someone who is not. In order for us to really hold space for people and be super empathetic without jumping into all of the things that they have going on and making it our own, in order to listen to someone and not be super judgmental, in order to be able to safely let someone be expressive of what they need to say or who they are, we have to be doing our own work there, right? Because the thing about the human experience is that it's very easy to become emotionally triggered by things. And I know triggered is a very, overused word, but like we become, another word could be activated, right? Emotionally activated by things that people do and by things that people say. And if we're not doing our own work around why did that bother me, or why does that feel like such a big deal, or why am I thinking that they don't respect me just because they said that, or why am I thinking this? Like when we don't have that self-reflective process, it's really easy to get sucked into all of those uncomfortable, yucky emotions we don't like to feel, and then take actions based on that yucky stuff we're feeling and then creating a result that doesn't feel that great. So to give you an example, like if you try to talk to somebody about something, let's say your feelings, and they interpret it as you are attacking them. So their thought is like, oh, I'm being attacked. Then they're going to feel icky feelings. They're going to feel defensive. They're maybe going to feel angry or frustrated. And those emotions are going to guide their actions, meaning that they might argue back with you. They may say things that are very hurtful. They may totally try to shut you down in whatever you're saying and over, like talk over you or try to shush you or try to, you know, say their piece or defend themselves. And then the result of that could be that you end up in an argument. And really what it came down to in that specific scenario is that they emotionally were not able to slow themselves down and manage what they were feeling based on the information being presented to them, aka you may be saying like, here's how this made me feel, right? That it takes so much work to slow yourself down and regulate your emotions enough to actually hold space and hear what's being said and think about how you want to respond before you actually respond. That's something that I would say a lot of people really struggle to do because they're not doing the inner work. So like if someone comes to me and they're really upset, maybe they're upset with someone else, maybe they're upset with me, my work in that moment is to slow down. And even though my body is telling me, maybe, oh God, this is not good, or we need to fight back, or we need to defend ourselves, we need to like be on high alert. That's natural for the body. You know, it kind of goes into that fight or flight response. And so that's normal. But what you do beyond that, what your emotional intelligence work is beyond that, is to slow yourself down and remind yourself in that moment you're actually safe. What you're hearing may not be making you feel good, but you know, assess the situation. Am I safe? Are these, at the end of the day, are these just words? Are they just, I like to use a thought process of like, these are just sentences coming out of someone's mouth. Or, you know, if I'm having a hard time, like I'm making their words mean a lot of things in my head, like, oh my gosh, they hate me, or they're so mad at me, or they're never going to talk to me again. Like those are just sentences in my brain. And so what I do is I observe their sentences and try to regulate my nervous system, just kind of breathe through it and be a good listener, no matter how hard it may be. And then, you know, think about, okay, why are they sharing these sentences with me? It must mean something to them to do so, okay? And so if you can slow yourself down and become less reactionary, that's going to help you in the long term be more emotionally connected to someone else, okay? When you're the person doing a lot of this work, what will feel frustrating a lot of times is like, why isn't anybody doing this for me? Like, I do so much of this work, I can regulate myself when someone's coming towards me any kind of way, and that's great, but why can't they reciprocate it? What is causing that lack of emotional connection? And I just want to bring you back to what I originally stated. If someone is not practicing feeling their own feelings, if they're not turning inward and working on themselves, they're not going to have the capacity to hold space for your emotions. We only have the capacity that we practice within ourselves. So like, for instance, I've been doing this work for a really long time. 8 years, I have been a student of coaching, right? Or a client of coaching. I've been coaching clients, you know, as my business, as a business owner, I've been coaching clients for 6. I have gotten obviously really, really good at holding space and having a very large emotional capacity. But it's not the time that has created that emotional capacity per se, although that helps. It has been the active daily, hourly, minute by minute work that I do internally to build up my emotional tolerance, to be super aware of my own emotional experiences, to understand what's happening in my body, to understand what's happening in my mind, enough to be empathetic for what could be happening for someone else when they are not regulating their own emotions very well, okay? Now, is it my responsibility, or is it our responsibility to, you know, be in charge of someone else's emotions. No, that's for them. And the way that we combat this, and here's what I mean. A lot of times I will have clients that will say, like, I do good regulating my own emotions. I'm getting so much better. But where I find myself getting emotionally activated or emotionally triggered by my partner or a friend or a family member is when they're not doing the work and they don't want to do the work. I've tried to share your podcast. I've tried to get them to sign up for different things. I've tried to get them to read personal development books. They won't do it. And it's creating a strain in our relationship because they don't have the emotional availability to be what I would like them to be. They don't want to hear the things I'm saying. They don't want me to share my experiences. They don't respect the work that I'm doing. They're, you know, maybe it's like they're hateful with me, or they don't want to hear what's going on in my life. And that can be very lonely and isolating. And I get that. The thing about that is you have to figure out what your boundaries are for yourself. What will your boundaries be? So it might be that you try to open up and communicate, and maybe you do that several times. And when someone is just not willing to hold that space for you, or you know, be that presence that maybe you feel that you're really craving, or that you feel like you need, you might have to set a boundary of, I don't have these types of conversations with this person anymore, because they don't have the emotional maturity or emotional availability to hold this space for me. And the reason that they're lacking that emotional maturity and that emotional availability to hold that space for you or for anybody else is because they haven't learned how to hold that same emotional space for themselves. And you cannot give what you do not have. I'm going to repeat that one more time. You cannot give what you do not have. So again, if they are not feeling their feelings, if they don't have emotional awareness, they're not going to be that great at doing it for you. And that is where your own empowerment has to come into play of, what are my boundaries? What do those look like? How am I going to enforce them? What is my work whenever I am so upset that someone I really love in my life cannot be this person for me? Like, how can I go deeper with that work? Okay. In coaching, if you have a coach, whether it's me or someone else, that can be something you can get some coaching on. And then beyond that, find spaces where you do feel that someone has emotional availability, right? And be mindful, you know, like, I think it's even a great thing, a part of our own awareness is to ask people if they have the emotional availability or capacity before emotionally dumping on anybody. And that's like for even my most self-aware girlies or guys, okay? Because even if there are people in our life that are great at holding space and they're a safe place and you can tell them anything and they will help you, they will listen to you, they will do their best, right? They are still a human being that still has things going on in their own life that probably, you know, still have maybe a family or kids or animals they're taking care of, or, you know, their work, their career, stressors, their own family stuff. They may not always be in the mental and emotional space for someone to emotionally dump, even if they're a really great human being that has always tended to have that capacity. So a very mature thing that you can do with your friends, or, you know, if you have a bunch of peers, if you're in a coaching program, like, before you just assume this person always holds space for me, start the conversation with, I'm kind of going through a couple of things. I would love to talk out. Do you have the emotional capacity for listening to it? Or, you know, and if you don't, that's totally okay. Like, I can try and find someone else, or I can just work on processing this myself. I can journal. I can kind of talk it out in my head. I can ask my coach on our next coaching call. I can go talk to my therapist about this. You know, that is a way to navigate that and just be respectful of what they say. right? If they're like, oh my gosh, you know that I would be here for you all the time, but right now I'm just going through so much of my own stuff. I don't have the emotional capacity. That will happen because life will be lifing sometimes. Life be lifing. And, you know, we can only handle really as humans, there's only so much we can handle all at once. So when someone has like a storm that they're navigating and then people are ready to emotionally dump without asking, it can just feel very exhausting as the receiver. So having the awareness of your own emotional capacity, being willing to ask the emotional capacity of others, and having the awareness that you're going to be interacting with a good amount of people probably in your life who are not doing this work, who do not have the emotional capacity. And the self-torture we put ourselves through a lot of times is wishing that they did when they don't. And wishing things would be different when they're not. That's called self-sabotage. That's called self-suffering. It's engaging in things that just keep you in a place where things don't feel good. Okay? So what I want you to think about is, you know, consider putting yourself in spaces and around friends and around the family and around the people that have that emotional capacity. And if you're like, Macy, I haven't found it yet, come over into my community. Come over in my community. Make sure that you introduce yourself. Come over on my social media. Make sure that you are following along, because there are times where I will run programs or webinars and things like that, and you can meet some community like that, right? You can start expanding and networking and meeting people that, you know, have more of that self-awareness and that mindset and their emotional intelligence and all of that kind of stuff, okay? So I hope that this helps you kind of think through any emotional, or I should say lack of emotional connections you feel like you have. And hang in there. I know that it's tough whenever you really love someone. Like for a lot of my clients, sometimes it's in marriage, right? They really want that emotional connection in their marriage. They want to be able to tell their partner everything. They want to be able to, you know, just share the good, the bad, the ugly, and their partner sometimes doesn't have the emotional capacity for it, and it can feel very, very lonely. And I will say to all of those, you know, women, just make sure to keep yourself in the spaces where you do have that, so you don't shrink and shrivel up. Because that I tend to see this happen the most with the clients who feel that lack of emotional connection with like their closest loved ones, is that they have a tendency to withdraw and self-isolate, and that only gets them in a cycle that's much more lonely and where they tend to self-sabotage even further rather than continue to grow. So put your little booty in spaces where you can continue to grow, and watch how your life continues to transform, and continue to hold space for, you know, the people that are in your life when you can. And if it becomes emotionally exhausting for you, then set those boundaries and honor those boundaries. Okay. All right. I will talk to you so soon. I am so sorry. It's taken me a while to get back to recording some episodes. I'm going to drop multiple today, so you have some goodies to listen to. When I tell you guys that I was in my own emotional roller coaster last month into some of this month, or it hasn't even been last month, or has it? I don't know. You guys, the last 5 weeks of my life has felt like such a cyclone of crazy, hectic, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between. It's been so emotionally exhausting, but I'm back, and I've been working on a lot of stuff, you know, behind the scenes when I can. The podcast was one of those things that just kind of, I dropped the ball, but I'm back. Don't worry. I'm here, and I will see you guys again very soon. Have a great week. Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of This Is Not Your Practice Life podcast. If you'd like to connect on social media, you can find me on both Instagram and Facebook at Macy Renee Coaching. And if you want to stay up to date on all of my offers, announcements, and inspirational emails, you can join my email list at MacyRenee.com. In addition, if there's a way that I can further support you in your coaching journey, you can schedule a free 60-minute consult at MaceyRenee.com anytime you want so we can discuss the best options for you. I look forward to seeing you next week, and I hope you have an amazing day. Bye.